Certainly may. I don't know that you'll be able to see it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, if you're able to. But, you know, if I could speak briefly before I get started here, and I don't plan on being long. I know that we need to turn on some wickless candles, and we're going to sing Silent Night. We're going to give you a little history about Silent Night, where it came from, how God's used it over the years, and then we're going to sing it together and we'll go. But as I was preparing for this night and asking the Lord to really just touch my heart so that I could speak freely and clearly, I thought about really the billions, not millions, the billions of people around the world who, for them, Christmas is just about the gifts. It's just about the tree. It's about the tinsel. It's about, for some, I guess, basketball. For some, it may be the food. And year after year, they go through the same cycle. They go through the cycle of buying, giving, receiving, and nothing ever changes for them. They really want peace. They really want satisfaction. They really want confidence. They want joy. They want love. And yet they never find it. And I thought about all the gifts that have been exchanged, and I thought about, for me, what would that be like for me if I was not born again? If I simply existed and every 365 days I spent several hundred dollars to give away and perhaps received several hundred dollars worth of merchandise back and forth for, let's say, 75 years. I'm reminded that Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You know, that verse is packed. But that one statement that the Savior himself made when he was a full-grown man ready to go to the cross tells us the value of your soul. That all of the riches in all of the world, should they be collected so that one man could have them all, would still not be the price of one soul. That's amazing to me. That's Christmas. That's how valuable the gift of Christ is. In fact, the Holy Spirit used a specific word to describe that gift. It literally is unspeakable. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." You see, it's true. Christmas is not about gifts. It's about one gift. His name is Jesus. Now, most of us, when we're trying to get a gift for someone we care about, we hope to find out from some other people, perhaps, who know them, if there is something that they need. We like to look and we like to feel like we've helped somebody give something that they need. Or perhaps if their life is full and they have a lot, maybe there's not something that they necessarily need, but something that they really want. They've just been waiting and perhaps you could get that for them. Or perhaps there's something that they would really enjoy. They don't necessarily want it. They don't necessarily need it. But there's something that you can give that just put a smile on their face. And it would just be wonderful for them to receive it. Or maybe if you're a little more practical, you try to find something that they'll use. Not just once and then get it done. Maybe for a week or a specific season, but something, wouldn't it be nice to get something for something they could use all year long, that it wouldn't just be a flash in the pan, wow, this was awesome, and now I don't know what to do with it, or it's done. Now, because men are not the brightest crown in the box, we need much more help than women do, and we can use all that we can get. I take all of the advice I can from my children, especially from my girls, to help me find something for my wife every year. And over the years, I've learned a few things, and here's what I've learned. So if I can pass some advice along to some other men in this room, especially if you haven't bought anything yet, I want to give you some advice on what not to buy your wife. Can I do that? Just for a minute. Here's, guys, if you haven't bought for your wife, and don't say anything, don't give it away. But if you haven't bought anything for your wife, or if you have, you may need to have kept the receipt because I'm going to give you something really good. What not to buy your wife. First of all, don't buy anything that plugs in. Anything that requires electricity is seen as utilitarian and it will not go down well. All right. People, if you know, wow, she needs a vacuum. I'll get her a vacuum. That's probably not a good thing. Something like that. So don't buy anything that plugs in. Secondly, don't buy clothing that involves sizes unless you are absolutely 100% sure of the size that she wears of a particular clothing. I've learned over the years that every piece of clothing seems to be a little different from the rest of them. The chances are 1 in 7,000 that you will get her size right. And if your wife, and your wife will be offended the other 699 times, because she'll say something like this. Do I look like a size 16 to you? If you get something too small, that's not going to cut it either. She'll say, well, I haven't worn that size in 20 years. And you're going to be in trouble anyway. So don't get anything that involves sizes unless you know it. Thirdly, avoid all things useful. Okay, that silver polish advertised to save hundreds of hours is not going to win any brownie points with your wife. And so don't try to look at those ads. But wait, there's more. And think, wow, she could really use that. And if she doesn't, I can. That's not going to help you. Next, don't buy anything that involves weight loss or self-improvement. She'll probably take a 6-month membership to the gym as suggestion that she's a little overweight and needs to lose weight. So that's not a good thing. So I was like, oh, I need to take that back. And fifthly, don't buy jewelry. The jewelry that your wife wants, you can't afford. And the jewelry that you can't afford, she doesn't really want it anyway. So don't buy the jewelry, all right? Now, more than likely, there are people in here who have been given a gift perhaps they really didn't need, or one they really didn't want, or you got something that you just knew you would never use or really enjoy. And instead of taking it out of the box, you tried to return it somewhere. Walmart for years, no receipt necessary. And you're like, oh, Walmart will take it. And so you take it back there, maybe Target. Because you just knew you weren't going to use it. You never really opened it. You never made it really yours. There was no really attachment. Or maybe you put it up in the top of your closet and you're going to recycle it next year and you'll give it away. But it's never really been yours. Now, I've known people who just put it up in the closet and do that. But what most people don't realize about the gift that God gave in Jesus Christ was that he was really God's gift to us all. The Bible says, for unto us is born, unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The beauty of what was given from God to us was out of the purest and deepest need that we as human beings have. Some people would say, well, I don't want Jesus. And they think, many of them, I don't really need him. And yet, the one thing that we must have, according to God, is Jesus. In fact, it says that we must be saved. We must be saved. In fact, according to the Bible, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So according to God, we must be saved through Christ, or we will be condemned forever apart from him. Wow. When I stop and think of that, that means that God knew exactly what we needed when he sent Jesus Christ to this earth. Because you see, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, he would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, certainly God would have sent us an entertainer. But instead, our greatest need was forgiveness. And so God sent us a Savior. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, the angel pronounces, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angel said unto Mary and unto Joseph, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Almost every one of the songs that we sang tonight, that you sang with zeal, mentioned the fact that God was with us and his name is Jesus Christ. The greatest gift that God ever gave was based on our deepest need. We must be saved or we must be condemned. Our sin, that need to be saved, came by one man. His name was Adam. I tell people on a regular basis when I'm witnessing to them, did your mom or dad ever sit you down and teach you how to lie, cheat, steal, and be selfish or prideful? And they always say the same thing. No, I don't think so. And then I say, well, did you ever wonder where you got that from? And they always go, no. I said, well, you got it from your dad. And he got it from his dad. And he got it from his dad. And I got it from mine. And it goes all the way, the Bible says, back to one man so that sin would reign. His name is Adam. My need came not because of anything I did, but simply because I was born human. Our sin came from one man, Adam, and that sin separates us from God. Salvation, on the other hand, comes by one man also, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. So at the manger, when you go by or you contemplate this babe being born, we see Jesus, that is God, becoming flesh to dwell among us as the only begotten of the Father, the Bible says, full of grace and truth. However, on the cross, because that's what it's all about, on the cross, we see Jesus different. We see him made to become sin on our behalf so that we could be made right with God again. 2 Corinthians 5:24, for he hath made him, that is Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, his immaculate birth was followed by a sinless life so that he could present himself in a substitutional death for you and me, which could only be made possible by a miraculous resurrection. 3 days later, Jesus walked out of the grave and he destroyed the works of the devil, the one that had power in death. His name is Satan, according to the Bible. His life in its entirety had you and I in mind. Does that not humble you? That he would endure such contradiction of sinners for you and me. The Bible calls it joy unspeakable. The joy set before him. Praise God for his unspeakable gift. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men. Listen, especially of those that believe. You see, the beauty of giving gifts at Christmas has nothing to do with the wise men that presented gifts to Jesus. It has everything to do with God giving to us everything we would ever need in Jesus. The Bible says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? For those of us in this room who have been born again, when you got saved, you were forgiven. You were given grace. You were given mercy. You were given hope. You were given love unspeakable and full of glory. You were given joy. You were given what God knew that you needed. Everything in your life in Christ so that you could live life confidently, not brashly. Not arrogantly, but confidently, because you know the truth, and that truth has set you free. It's almost as if God knew exactly what you needed for Christmas, and he's given it all to you. All you have to do is receive it by faith. Now, just like the gifts that perhaps you've been given and you kind of opened it up, hoping there was a gift receipt inside. Just like that, I think sometimes people hear about their opportunity to be saved through Christ alone. And they go, it's like getting that sweater and you go, it's just not quite my style. And so if you can't take it back, you don't feel like you could in good conscience give it to somebody, you may throw it away, you may give it away in Salvation Army, but you, whatever it is, you won't keep it. Because you don't need it, you really don't want it, it's not useful to you. And the tragedy is, ladies and gentlemen, there are people that I have spoken to that would do that with Jesus. I don't need to be saved, I'm good, I was raised, and they'll say, they'll give me all their credentials as to why they don't need to be saved through Christ alone. Sometimes they wear it as a badge. I was raised in said religion. I was baptized at this age. I was confirmed. I was done all this. There's no reason for me to believe that I need Jesus to be saved. And yet they're giving me every reason outside of Jesus why God's going to let them into heaven. Knowing if the Bible says that I, Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me, and yet somehow they think that they found it. Do you understand how amazingly wise God is? He knew exactly what we needed. For if you and I could be saved some other way, the robber cometh up another way, and he's only looking to steal and destroy. If that's the case, then why did God kill Jesus? Why did he even send him in the first place? Well, he was a good teacher, so that's what we needed, was an example. So that we could actually just live the Ten Commandments and call it all good. And God's going to say, oh, well done. You did it just like Jesus. No, the answer is, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God knew that long before you and I were ever created in our mama's womb. So God sent Jesus, the greatest gift of all, unspeakably. There's not anything in heaven or earth that could describe the gift of salvation in one word. Some call it amazing because it's amazing grace. Some call it phenomenal. We could say it's unbelievable, and yet it is the belief in that gift that saves us all. Have you ever received the gift of eternal life through Christ only? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. People are always shocked and succumbed when I tell them, would you be surprised if God said you can actually know 100% proof positive for sure that you're on your way to heaven? And then you show them that verse and they go, wow, God's really serious about eternal life. So much so that he made his own son go through sin and death and tasted it so that we would never have to ever again. Have you received Christ as your Savior? Do you know if you died today that you'd be on your way to heaven forever, or do you know? Or maybe you've been saved by God's grace and you know it, but unfortunately you've never treated your salvation. You've treated your salvation just like that ugly Christmas sweater. And you only put Jesus on when the occasion calls for everyone else to do so. My guess then is you haven't fully unwrapped all of what salvation means yet. And perhaps you need to get to the bottom of the box. Maybe this Christmas it's time to pull back a little more and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and experience God all over again. Or perhaps, like most in here, you cherish the very gift of grace that you've been given by God. And Christmas for you is a time to reflect all the way back to the manger in Bethlehem. And you'll take some time this week to say to the Lord God, I am so humbly grateful for the gift of your precious Son. And I want to give my life to you this Christmas to do with what you will. You say, well, I don't really have much to give. I mean, I have a broken life. I got saved late. I've made a lot of bad decisions. You know, the greatest part about that statement is that we're all broken. And that's all that God wants in return, is a life that he could use for his glory. This Christmas, I pray that each of us in here would not only contemplate the manger, but contemplate the cross, and that it would be truly unspeakable all over again. Read the stories in Matthew and Luke. Take your children through it. Let them hear what the Bible says about the incarnation of Christ, and be overwhelmed because God is with us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you so much for grace. God, I don't know everybody in here and their spiritual condition, but I know that you do. You know them very personally. You created them. You know the very hairs on their head. And God, you know if they were to perish tonight, where they would be forever. Now, Lord, I pray for the soul of these, that they would be saved. I pray for those, Lord, who perhaps haven't been putting on the new man, that this would be a great time to push the reset button. And then, Lord, for those that have been so faithful to you, I pray that as they worship you tonight and they just bow their head in humility and amazement at your gift, you would bless that faithfulness. With your head bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if you're here tonight and you'd say in your heart, you know, Pastor, I don't know Jesus personally, and I certainly don't know that if I died, I am not sure that I would be in heaven. But you would like to know. Something in you just knows that what I'm speaking from the Word of God is truth, and you know that you need to be saved. If you're willing to recognize that need before God and confess that, did you know that He's more than ready and willing to save you? And right there in your seat, you could pray something like this to the Lord, just in your heart. Lord Jesus, I know tonight that I am a sinner and I need to be saved. But I believe that you died for me on the cross of Calvary and you rose again 3 days later. Right now, the best way I know how, will you please come into my life, forgive me of my sin, and take me to heaven when I die? Thank you for saving me. Now, friend, you may have prayed that for the very first time and you've never contemplated eternity, but I know this, according to the Bible, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you sincerely did that from your heart tonight, then according to the promise of Almighty God, He saved you. This church didn't save you. I didn't save you. Jesus saved you. He forgave you of your sins, and He's giving you a new beginning. Now, if that was the case tonight, could I beg you to do one thing tonight before you go to your pillow? Would you tell somebody, I got saved tonight? Maybe someone that brought you. Maybe that someone that you're related to. Maybe you have a relative, or a mom, or a dad that's been praying for you for many, many years. And tonight, you gave your heart to Christ. Christian, could I also beg you, would you simply take a couple of minutes tonight and reflect on the goodness of God? And in light of your life, the way that you're living it currently, would you be reconciled to that salvation all over again? Oh, I praise God that we don't have to be saved again. But I do believe that there needs to be some checkpoints in our life that we could, by God's grace, come back to where we began. And afresh and anew. Man, life is just full of new beginnings, and His mercies are new every morning. And Christmas is one of those times. I wonder if you just take a moment. I'm going to have Miss Ashley play quietly just for a minute. Maybe take 45 or 60 seconds. Would you just spend with the Lord before we sing Silent Night? Just contemplate the gift that God gave you. Be reminded and overwhelmed all over again at how unspeakable it really is to be a child of God.